I was going to begin my share this evening with something to the effect of, I'm deeply grateful to Rabbi Jacobson for asking me to speak about matzah and marzipan, because there's a very strong connection to marzipan and Pesach. The problem is, I don't think there's any connection. I couldn't find any connection, so I'm not going to start with that. And then people said, I remember there you're going to speak about Bamba. Last time you mentioned something about Bamba. So of course I'm not going to talk about Bamba, for the obvious reason, because if I were to ask you what's the main ingredient in Bamba, that would be a trick question. Because there are actually two possible answers. It's either peanut butter or corn. And both of those are kidneys. So we can't talk about Bamba, so that's out. It's interesting to note that I didn't know this, but peanuts are actually grown in this country. They grow peanuts up north near Emek Khula. Emek Khula is famous for the millions of storks that migrate from Europe to Africa, Asia. And they have a stopping point over Israel because they don't want to fly over water too much. And the storks cause a tremendous amount of damage because they need to eat. And the Israelis aren't prepared to feed them too much. They do feed them quite a lot. That is the main reason why they stop at Tafka Khula, because that's where they get their food. But they discovered that around Emek Khula there are a bunch of peanut fields. And all the little bits and pieces of peanut that like fall onto the ground, they don't get harvested, they get eaten by the cranes. So that's a fact for you about Bamba. But I'm not speaking about Bamba tonight. I'm not going to speak about corn either. In fact, I'm not going to tell you all the things I'm not going to speak about, because there won't be any time to tell you what I'm speaking about. It's interesting, there was an expo in Milan a few years ago, the agricultural thing. The Israelis are big into this. And they've now invented what they call vertical planting. Saves a lot of space. They have about 14 meters high, which is about twice the height of the ceiling, fields growing upwards. And it's all computerized and high tech with the dripper system. And one of the things they're growing is corn. So saves a lot of water, saves a lot of space. So both corn and peanuts are out. So let's talk about marzipan a little bit. Actually, it's a very, very, very old minhag to eat marzipan on Pesach. Many people don't know this, and we'll talk a bit more about this later. But before we talk about marzipan, I just want to pose a little question. You know, we talk about matzah quite a lot this time of the year. And that is because we're living in the time of the Churban. In the time of the Beit HaMikdash, people spoke about matzah throughout the year. You see, in the Beit HaMikdash, they had Korban Menachos, and Korban Menachos boys matzah. Matzah was the standard mincha. And there is, aside from the mincha korban, which is matzah, with a few exceptions, of course, the Korban Todah. The Korban Todah was brought, which had four types of 10 chalas, 40 chalas altogether, or matzahs. 30 of them were matzah and 10 were challah. And the question is, what on earth does a one guy have to bring so many matzahs for? So there's a classic answer, Hamek Dover, a foreigner touches on this as well, because you only have one day and one night to eat it, and by having so much to eat in such a short time, you have to invite your friends. And when you invite your friends, you say, listen, I'm making a party tonight, you've got to come over this. So they say, what's that party like? I can't explain to you now, I've got to invite lots of people. And then they invite your friends over, and then you tell them the special Torah that Kodesh Baruch Hu did to you. So it's a way of publicizing by having so much to finish off. But I'd like to suggest a different answer later this evening. So, what's the main ingredient in marzipan? So, that's a trick question again. There is no main ingredient because it's 50% nuts and 50% sugar. Which nuts? You can make marzipan out of a variety of nuts. Some people make it out of pistachio nuts. In fact, you don't even have to make it out of sugar. If you use very, very good quality nuts, you don't need to use the sugar. The nut has a certain bitterness to it, to which they add the sugar. And of course, sugar is cheaper than nuts. But like you, somebody mentioned, the most popular ingredient in marzipan is, of course, almonds. Almonds are an amazing food. Until about 40, 50 years ago, people didn't really grow them too much. Today, about 80% of the almonds we have are grown in California. They do grow them here, of course. They are high in vitamin E, B12. They lower cholesterol, they're good for blood pressure, and heart things, skin, almond oil. They make flour out of it, they make liqueur out of it, amaretto. It's used in cosmetics. It has tremendous properties, the almonds. You should be aware that if you go out into the hills over here, there's different types of almonds. We know Shkedem Hamorim, Shkedem Hamatukim. And if you actually ingest too much of the wrong type, the actual shell, the peel of it, contains a property similar to cyanide, so that can be quite lethal. What's interesting to note about almonds is that it's actually not a nut. You see, a classic example of a nut is a hazelnut, which the bit that you eat, the fruit, is covered by a shell. The almond is actually what we call a drupe. A drupe is similar to a peach, a mango, whereby the outer bit, the soft fleshy bit, is actually the fruit. And the bit inside is what we call the seed. So when you're eating an almond, you're not actually eating the fruit. You chuck the fruit and you're eating the seed. You should may be interested to know that in many countries, the outer soft bit, which eventually dries and turns brown and falls off, but when it's like soft and green, it is eaten. It can be eaten, it can be fried, you can mix it with all kinds of interesting things. But just be careful the ones that you choose to make sure they're eating the right ones. So that's just a little introduction about almonds. Now, one of the interesting properties about almonds is that, you know this from the song that the kids sing, that almonds are one of the first fruits to appear near the end of the winter. They have a beautiful white pink blossom, and they often we make a berkat elonis on them. Almonds are mentioned already way back in the time Yaakov Avinu sent down, the pasuk says Vayemalen Yisrael Aviem. It's considered one of the beautiful fruit of the country. I'm actually just take that back. Botnim, Rashi says loya dati, what is, I think, but he says in some French words very similar to pistachio. So it could be that Yaakov Avinu sent pistachio nuts down and shkedim. Or where did Yaakov get all these interesting things from, especially if there was a famine? That's a separate topic, which also I'm not going to talk about. We also find the shaked mentioned, of course, with a story after Korach, and after the a plague there with the Ketores, that Aaron Avinu with his stick, everybody placed their stick, and the Torah says that the stick of Aaron blossomed and produced almonds. Why almonds? Why did Hashem make the stick produce specifically almonds? So Rashi says, "V'lomoshkedim, hu apri hamamaher lahafriach mikol haperos, af hamoira lakohuna peronasoi mamaheres lovoi." Just as the almond is so swift to grow, to change from being a blossom to already a little fruit, so too I will be swift, said the Kodesh Baruch Hu, in punishing those people that start and shave at the Levi. The Kilioka adds that it's actually a middle connected middle, because we just told a few psukim before that Aaron ran around with the Ketores Vayorot El Teich HaKohol to stop the Magefo, and we know that the Koinim are Zerizim, they have the middle of Zerizis, so as a reward to the middle connected middle, that was the shakedim. So shaked is an expression of swift, of enthusiasm, of excitement, of speed, also of hasmoto, all these things go together, something that you constantly do, and you do fast and with energy. We also find in Yirmiyahu, near the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yirmiyahu, what do you see? Vayemar makel shaked ani roeh. Vayemar sheila hitavte liroes ki shaked ani al devarai lasoisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to be swift with what I do. And Rashi says that it takes 21 days for the blossom to turn into a fruit. And those 21 days are connected the time from when Hufka'e, when the wall was breached, till the Srefa of the Beis HaMikdash. So where does this minna come from to eat marzipan? Well, I must confess, it's not exactly marzipan, but it's definitely almonds. On Pesach, we all eat chareses. What do you put inside your chareses? There's a Ramo in Tof Ayin Gimel. The Ramo writes, V'oisin chareses mi peiros shenim shalu bahem Yisrael. Kegoin tapuchim te'enim egoizim, rimoinim, shekedim. Apples, figs, walnuts, pomegranates, almonds. V'noisnalein tavlin, kegoin cinnamon and ginger, etc. like that. That should be look like teeth, and it should remind you of the cement that the Jewish people had to work with during their time in Mitzrayim. Now, the Ramo has just mentioned that a whole list of fruit which Klal Yisrael are compared to. It's not 100% accurate, because if you look in Shir HaShirim, there's no mention of Shkedim. And the Mishnah Berurah is quick to quote Tosfos in Pesachim, Daf Kuftei Zayin, that says that all the other ones that Ramo did list, those are, you're quoting from the Oinim, those are mentioned in Shir HaShirim. But the reason why we add the Shaked is Al Shem Sheshokat HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alakeit. It's a reminder for the Chippozim. It's a reminder for the swiftness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Jewish people out. 3 or 5 million people had to suddenly leave. The Mitzrayim said, get out, get out. Kigoshu Min Mitzrayim. Or another interpretation is that instead of being 400 years, he with the Zerizas, after 210, they were kicked out of Mitzrayim with a tremendous Zerizas. So that's the minag of almonds. Interestingly, we find that, as we mentioned before, the shaked is something swift, it's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish people very swiftly and very quickly. There's another pasuk mentioned in Mishlei which associates swiftness and shaked in a positive way. And that is the pasuk as follows: Ashrei Adam Shemea Li Lishkoid Al Dal Soisai Yoim Yoim. Praiseworthy is the man that is constant, that is excited, that is enthusiastic to be at my doors every day, Lishmoir Mezuzah Pesachai, to guard my doors, to protect my doors. And this, of course, is a reference, as Rashi says, Likonis Rishon Lebes HaMedrash Lebes HaKnesses Velotes Achron. Be excited, be the first one in, and be the last one out. Lishkoid Yoim Yoim, and Lishmoir every single day. And the next passage continues, Ki Moitzai Moitzah Chayim V'Yofek Ratzon Hashem. If you do this, if you're swift, if you're first, if you're excited, then you've found life. It's a bit of a sad story, but an important one. About 19 years ago, some of you may remember, there was a woman that walked into a hotel in Netanya on the first night of Pesach, in the Park Hotel in Netanya, and she was a suicide bomber. She detonated a bomb, and almost immediately about 30 people were killed. It was a time of very many intifada terrorist attacks. The whole country, the whole world Jewry was in agony and pain over this cruel event. The people that passed away were from families, children, many Holocaust survivors. It was an absolute tragedy. And Reb Yitzchok Kolodetsky. Reb Yitzchok Kolodetsky is, of course, the son-in-law of Reb Chaim Kanievsky. He went into Reb Eliashiv and he said to Reb Eliashiv, "What should I speak about to be Ma'orah the people after such an event?" And Reb Eliashiv said, "Tell them about Kavod Hashem." So he said, "Well, what do you mean? What would be an example of Kavod Hashem?" So Reb Eliashiv said, "Tell them to come on time for davening. If davening starts at 7 o'clock, this is an example that he gave, people should be there 6:45. Takes time to settle down, talis, tefillin, korbanos, whatever it is." On a different occasion, somebody asked him for some segula farichas yomim, similar kind of idea, and he said, "The best segula that I know is to come on time for davening." He said in Bovel, in the Iraqi people used to live for many to a long age, and that's because they respected their tefillahs and they came on time. And he quoted this very pasuk, "Ashrei Adam Shemeali Lishkoy Avar Soisa Yom Yom." And the next pasuk continues, "Ki Moitzoi Motzachayim." If a person is Lishkoy Avar Soisa Yom Yom, that is a recipe, that is a segula for Moitzoi Motzachayim. Coming on time isn't just something we can do at Shacharis. Of course, it's for all tefillahs. I remember my father, Zechroni Levrocho, we had to once go for an MRI. And he was wondering beforehand, you know, you can't move, you can't do very much during an MRI. And he was wondering, what am I going to think about? My father was a thinking person. So he decided that he's going to obviously think about some spiritual, some Jewish, some Torah thought, and he wasn't in the frame of mind to start going through, you know, complicated Dafim of Gemara. He says, "Do you know what I know by heart? I know Ashrei by heart." And he started going through Ashrei, and in his mind he was asking himself questions: why this word? Is there a possible repetition? What could this mean? Where else do we find a similar word? What lessons can we learn? What's the explanation, understanding of each pasuk? And that's how he used his time during this MRI. After a short while, they said, "Okay, you know, you can sit up. This is the end." So he said, "Yeah, but I'm not finished." He probably finished at home. But you don't have to wait till having an MRI to learn Ashrei. It was a few years ago, Rabbi Eisenberg actually in this shul gave about 20 or 30 shurim just on Ashrei alone. I think we have them on our website. So the lesson of Marzipan, the lesson of the almond, is definitely a lesson of Zerizus, of being excited. What exactly is Zerizus, and why do you need it, and how do you get it? So of course the best place to turn is the Mesillas Yesharim, who expounds upon this. In three separate questions and three short answers. Mesillas Yesharim says that by nature we're lazy. Now when I say by nature, it means that we were born this way. Why were we born this way? So that we should work on our middos and go against our grain. And to do something which is not our nature, and that is part of Yavodas Hashem. There's an expression like, don't push off to tomorrow something you can push off to the day after that. That's not Jesus. So the Mesillas Yesharim explains, I read it out. Ki teva ha'odam kovid ma'oy. By nature we have a certain sluggishness to us. Ki afriyos ha'chomriyos gas. Our physical nature makes us thick. People don't enjoy working. And if you want to reach a level of serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, you've got to go against your grain. And also he brings from Yeshua, who said, you've got to be extra strong. These are the things which Tzarichim chizuk, Torah and Maasim Tovim. Why do they need chizuk? You want to switch 100% reversal against your teva, you've got to work on it. You've got to be misgaber. So how do you do it and when does it apply? So the Mesirus Hashem says there's actually two stages. There's the Zerizus before and there's the Zerizus during. The Zerizus before means that sometimes you may have an opportunity that comes in front of you. It could be to learn Torah, it could be to daven, it could be a mitzvah, it could be a chesed, it could be a tzedakah, whatever. Don't delay it. We, as human beings, Yetzirah always puts other things in our head. This has to be done first, this is more important, don't forget to do this. There's a law, it's called Parkinson's Law, which goes something to the effect of, a job takes the amount of time allotted to it. Is that right? Thank you. If you've got 3 hours on Friday afternoon to do sponsor, it'll take you 3 hours. If you've only got half an hour, 45 minutes, you'll manage. So you could have saved yourself all that time. And the Mesirus Yesharim quotes a line over here which is so appropriate for Pesach. He says, the application before, he writes, Koidem Haskolat HaMaisahu Shalo Yachmit HaOdom HaMitzvah. Don't let your mitzvah become chometz. As Chazal say, Mitzvah HaBor Leoto Al Tach Mitzeno. Don't let it rise, don't let it schlep. Just do it. Behagia Zmano Behizdamno Lefonov. When the opportunity comes before you, or if you already have the thought in your head, Yamahir Yochish Masayu Lechizbo Falasay Soiso. Do it, grab it. Don't let time get in between. It's one of the most dangerous things is when you allow time in between you and the action that you need to do. If you allow time in between right now and when you actually do it, something is going to get in between. And that is going to hold you back. That's the application of Zerizus before. When is the application during? Okay, so that means that when you do something, you do it with excitement. Don't be bored about it. Do it with enthusiasm. So we find with Avraham and with Rivka, there's a certain running. It shouldn't be like a must, it shouldn't be like a burden. Oh my gosh, I've got to do this. I really can't be bothered. I can't wait till it's finished. Put some excitement into your mitzvahs, into your Torah, into your learning, into your davening. That's a Zerizus message. How do you get to that? Well, he writes, it's actually a mind frame. It's depending on your attitude. He says that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's real desire is a person's teshukas haneshama. David HaMelech writes, Ka'ayo tarek alafike moim. How much I yearn, how much I thirst to keep your words. Kein nafshi tarig elecho elikim, soma nafshi lelikim. Nichsefo vakam kolta nafshi. I yearn, I thirst, I desire. If a person really wants to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, they'll be able to do it. And of course, this is the famous Mesirus Yesharim over here where he adds that if you're not feeling up to it, then first pretend as if you want to do it. It's just first physically get into the action. My father once wanted to encourage the guy to come to a shiur. So he said, yeah, I was thinking of playing golf and I'm not sure if I'll be able to come to your shiur. So my father said, well, you know what, meanwhile come to the shiur, then think about playing the golf afterwards. First come to the shiur. Don't be delayed with all kinds of shiur. Okay, so we know that we've got to be Zerizim, we know we've got to have a mind frame, we know we have to have the action to start doing the Tenua HaChitzonis. How do you attain that? What's going to make you do the Tenua HaChitzonis? So he writes, Masha Yuchal Lahagve HaHisayris Hazeh Hu HaHistaklus Borev HaTovos. If you think about the unbelievable good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done to you, every moment in time, just think about all the good. in your body, in your family, in your home, whatever you have. Every single person has millions of things to be grateful and to be thankful for, to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Should we not reciprocate Kaviyochel and do his rotzen? If everything's going well, you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what's going well. If a person has certain issues, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's not worse, he writes, or that you didn't have it before. That's the message of the marzipan. That's the message of the almonds, and that's the message of Zeritus. It's very easy now to connect marzipan with matzah and Korban Pesach. Does the Torah not write, Ki b'chipozayin etzosam imitzrayim? You're supposed to eat with a speed. So, you're welcome to go home, take a piece of marzipan, have it together with your matzah. The two ideas are the same. If you want to be really cool, you can have a matzah marzipan sandwich, do like Hillel and Korach. But ideas, both ideas are the same. But I saw Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chava brings this idea actually into the Korban Pesach and the Matzah itself. What we say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, he adds a new interpretation. Kol Dichvin Yeseh V'Yechol. He explains that Pesach is really an introduction to Shavuos, to Kabbalah Torah. And when it says Kol Dichvin Yeseh V'Yechol, it means if you're hungry, eat what you need to eat. Don't eat if you're not hungry. Don't eat just because you saw some food. If you're not hungry for an apple, you're not hungry. That's the message of Kol Dichvin Yeseh V'Yechol. The second message, Kol Ditzrich Yeseh V'Yiftach. The Possum Shat is whoever needs should join us in the Korban Pesach. However, he explains like this. It's an understanding. Shekol Iskei Oylem Azeh Tzorech Shehi Ardas Ha'avora Levad. Kol Ditzrich, if you need to do something, do it the Pesach way. Like Hashem passed over, it's swift, short. Your majority of your life should be focused on Torah, on mitzvahs, and your Shemayim. If you need to do something else, do it, but make it a Pesach. Do it, like pass it over, as fast as you can. As the Rambam says, a mitzvah she'ef shalasis al adei chirim. Okay, do it. But after that, yachzor v'talmudoy. So our message from Pesach is that time flies fast. But you're the pilot. You're flying the time. You can use it well. Control your time from hijackers that are there to waste your time. Rabbi Yisrael Taranty used to say, the biggest musab sefer is just a watch. If you watch the seconds ticking by, because they'll never come back. And in fact, the children of the Vilna Gaon in the Hekdomot HaRachayim, they wrote that the Vilna Gaon used to speak to people. What was his main message? I read it out to you in two or three lines. He used to tell people that I'm near and pass this message out to the people that are far away. Of course, generally we use our time well. It's the chelkei zamanoi that the Vilna Gaon says, don't waste your time on efes tikva, on useless, stupid things. What is a good thing to spend? Dvarim yoisi yikarim, esek atayra, avoida, etc. If the Gaon is giving you this advice, trust me, this is good advice. Reb Chaim Volozhin writes in the beginning of this sefer, Sefer Tzinyosa, Reb Chaim Volozhin brings down, let me tell you something about the Vilna Gaon. He writes that the Vilna Gaon was Gadol Ba'anokim, was such a great man. Lo yu'uman ki yusufa, I can't even tell you over. Atcha hoitzi kol inlin lo'or boru la'mitoy, even though he had a tremendous knowledge, from that he'd read, things that he'd seen or heard from his own knowledge, he wasn't relaxed till he took whatever he was about to say, he would weigh it up in his Seichel HaKodesh, kama meyos pa'omim. Hundreds and hundreds of times, it will be a gia neiro, v'lei ochar v'lei shosa, kama yom v'leiras. Sometimes days and nights will go by without him eating or drinking. Vatidach nosem eno, without sleeping. Ad ki choshach mishachor ta'oroi. he started looking blank. Vanosa nafsoi olav ad asher heirashem elio enov. Okarega koron oriponov. Once he got the pshat, his whole face lit up. So the Brinda God knew how to use his time, and if he's giving us this advice, this is really a fantastic Pesach message to use our time wisely. Perhaps the Korban Todah, which interestingly we mention practically every day when we say Mizmor Todah, even though we know that the Korban Todah was brought by four types of people, Rosh Hashanah Chayim, V'chol Chayim Yiducha Selo, Chovash Beis Asurim, Yam Yisurim, somebody that was ill, and Midbar. So why do we say Mizmor Todah every day? You haven't been across the sea, you haven't been to the Midbar. Why are we saying Mizmor Todah every day? Because there are millions of miracles that are happening to us every day. For what we have to be grateful. We're just used to it. We don't appreciate it. We don't notice it. But maybe that message is in those 30 matzahs. That Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you know what? You just went through a life-threatening situation. Now I'm giving you life. What are you going to do with it? Spend your time wisely. That's the Mizmor Todah message. That's a many, many matzahs message. I want to end with a little short story. I think this is from a Michal Yehuda, that he needed new glasses. And they were going to take him to optician, and he said, I don't want to go now during Zman, I'll go Ben Azmanin. So they said, well, what's the difference? You're always learning. So wherever you go, you've got to take off time from your learning. There's no really difference in the Beit HaTorah for you. So he said, yeah, you're right. He said, but if I walk into the Beit HaMedrash in the middle of Zman with new glasses, hundreds of boys are going to look up and say, oh, the Shiva's got new glasses. So those few seconds is going to be bitter terror for those boys. I don't want those seconds. I don't want. Better do Ben Azmanin where there's Beit HaMedrash, there's less people. So let's remember, yesterday is history. That's past. Tomorrow, that's in the future. Right now, this moment of time is an absolute gift. And that's why it's called the present. Thank you very much.
That's itself, it's time. If it's more than 8 minutes by 1 second,
you're out. The message of time. Use your time wisely.